Our podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we'll begin in just a moment. When you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars, breaking the risk barrier, measuring and managing investment risk, doing dividends right, a 30-minute crash course in dividend investing. These and many more are yours free when you're an insider. Anybody can sign up for free. It's easy. Go to investtalk.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is February 12th, 2016. Our InvestTalk mission is to help you become a better money manager of your own funds if you're doing it yourself, or even if you're not doing it yourself, you even hire a money manager, how to be a better overseer of the money manager. It's this form that we have set up here. It's designed to help listeners to gain knowledge, to understand how things work, exchange some ideas, give them some current relevant investment news. That's the things we try to do here on our show. We're here to answer any questions you have, along with their financial. You can reach us directly during this 4 to 5 hour every day, Monday through Friday, Pacific time, 4 to 5 Pacific time, at 888-99-CHART. You can leave your question on that same number anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can also send me a note. Just click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com. Go to our website and click on that and send us an email. And one of the ways we dispense information and opinions is with our premium newsletter. It goes out every Friday. You subscribe to it every Friday, less than $10 a month. And today's edition, I started off with, you know, the current market conditions section. We noted that the market continues to struggle. The closing lows made in January is where the market tested just yesterday, the day before, tested those lows and bounced up nicely today. But we talked about that. Talked about, is this a correction? How deep is it? And what is a correction? When's the last time we had a really deep correction? It's all in there. And on the economic front, we talked about the weekly jobs claims. And there wasn't weekly jobless claims, which were pretty low. Remember, those are people that are unemployed applying for claims, money. And the lower it is, the better it is. So the job market's fairly healthy, at least in certain ways you look at it, it's fairly healthy. And each week we try to, you know, I give you a market summary and what KPP Financial is doing about these conditions, what we are doing. And that's the first part of the weekly newsletter. And the second part, we talk about portfolio management, how to manage a portfolio. And this week we talked about, you know, you're managing a portfolio. Are we or are we not heading into recession? Because that portfolio is going to be severely impacted if we are. If we're not, then what, you know, then you need to know that as to what kind of steps you want to take with your portfolio. A couple of stock ideas. Last few weeks ago, we gave a couple of short ideas on how to short the market against the fall, try to hedge your portfolio against going down. Today, we gave a couple of specific stocks, one domestic, one not. So, yeah, and finally, the last section we talked about is Consumer Watch, and I talked about timeshares. Timeshares. I have a lot of family members, several of them which have timeshares, and sometimes I hear them and they think it's pretty good, but most of the time I hear and they say, man, this is a real pain. So, I don't know. I try to talk about the benefits and the detriments of a timeshare. So what's your money question today? What do you want to talk about? So let's hear your comments, your questions. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve, this is Ben from Fort Collins, Colorado. I'm a young investor, sophomore in college, and I want to go into finance and was wondering if you had any good advice for a younger person trying to start out in the stock market. Any info is great. Thank you.
Okay, well, everybody, you know, wants to be a money manager. It's a very difficult field to get in. And if I was to make a suggestion, my suggestion would be for any young college person is learn economics. How does the economy work? Because that's a key to where you're going to invest your money in the future. Because you want to know what the economic cycle is, what affects the economic cycle, what politics affects the economy, what the Fed does and how it affects the economy. And what about the world economy? Too many people that I see have no clue. What if we get a stronger dollar? What if we get a weaker dollar? What causes a stronger dollar or a weaker dollar? You know, everybody focuses on this individual company. I want to buy this company. It looks really good. Well, do you know if that whole sector is doing well? And why would it do poorly or why would it do well? So I think you have to start with a broad-based understanding of the economy. Okay, then you can specify after that. But if you're going to get into the financial world, it's a tough world to get into. Most people would not get in it the way I got into it. I got in through the insurance company, working for an insurance company many, many years ago. But, you know, and then I retired early, and then how I got to here was a whole nother story. But it's a difficult field to get in. But that's how I would start. If you're in college, learn how economy works. Learn what learn what a spreadsheet is and how to read one. It's amazing that people with college degrees coming out with economics or accounting can't read a spreadsheet. Not that hard. Anyways, your ETF may be better off in a retirement account. That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, we're going to discuss what's happening in Europe. The German GDP for the fourth quarter came out. Have you been paying attention? What's going on in there? And the EU? Why did oil prices rise today? You know, it had the best year in 7 years. Best day in 7 years. The rise for oil prices. Now, you would think, oh, well, that's good news. Well, no. How many bad days have you had in a row? But why? What sparked that little rally today? And is it going to last? The market is all about earnings. So we're going to talk about earnings. We're at the very end of the earnings season for the fourth quarter. And I want to talk about those earnings and looking forward for the first quarter. What might trigger an IRS audit? What might trigger an IRS audit? I got like six things that I think that I know will trigger. They won't necessarily, let me rephrase this. The IRS looks for things. They look for little red flags, and these are six of those red flags. Doesn't mean you will have an audit. Just means that your probability goes up. I mean, what did they audit? What's a 0.1% or something? 1% of all tax returns? So how do they pick them? They look for little red flags, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. The market, the Dow was up 313 points. Wasn't that a nice day? Do you think it made up all the losses for the week? No, it did not. But it was nice being up 313 points. The NASDAQ up 71 points, and the S&P up 36 points. So what I'm saying here is we got a nice bounce today. Is it sustainable? And as I mentioned yesterday, that it looks like yesterday the market bounced right off a low made in January. Bounced off that low. That low was lower than the August low, but looks like we're trying to hold that area, the 1840 to 1860 area. I think that's where it wants to hold. So we'll see if that can do it. We'll see. We won't know until next week. And remember, this is the three-day weekend. Most of the time, investors get very nervous going into a three-day weekend, and they don't run the market up 313 points on a Friday before a three-day weekend. That's unusual. So it just tells you how much probably oversold the market is. Don't get excited just because it bounces up. Justin and I have been saying we should get a rally. You know, a rally from all the pain that happened just because of the being oversold. But that doesn't mean the market is healthy. Have you registered for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference? It's getting pretty full. We have to really, it's coming up here about a week and a couple days. That's on February 20th, a week from tomorrow in San Jose. A week from tomorrow. Survival and Opportunities in a Pretty Volatile Market. That's the title. Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. You can still take advantage of our early bird registration. You got to do it today. You can save $10. Be $35 instead of $45. You got to do it by midnight. Just go to investtalk.com. Again, that's investtalk.com. Or you can call 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, do you think the negative interest rates in Japan and probably in the U.S., would that help credit card companies like Visa and MasterCard?
Well, it doesn't help or hurt them directly. MasterCard and Visa, you know, everybody knows that they provide payment solutions. You know, a credit card, you swipe it, or a debit card, you swipe it, and there you go. I don't think it will hurt them or help them if they go to negative interest rates. What more important for them would be the health of an economy. And negative interest rates supposedly are to try to boost the economy. I don't know. I don't think that there's much evidence to show that that is, but central bankers around the world certainly are trying to do that. They think it's going to help them. And I just haven't seen the benefits yet. So I don't think you'd worry about that. I would worry more about the health of the economies overall. And MasterCard or Visa, especially the U.S. economy, you know, because that's where most of their sales are. Both are a little bit overpriced, even after falling so sharply. They're in the mid-20s P.E. ratios, and there's not much difference between MasterCard and Visa. They're pretty, you know, pretty close to each, as far as which one's better.
Okay.
Thanks, Bobby. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. MasterCard is M-A as a symbol. Visa is V. And it's a good, solid companies. I mean, you know, you can't fault them. I'm curious as what the payment systems are. Different payment systems would do, the new ones. I'm talking about Apple Pay and Square and, you know, others. Didn't Visa or MasterCard just buy an interest in one of those payment systems? Yeah, Visa took a stake in Square. Anybody know what Square is? That's the thing you can put on your phone and you slide the credit card, you plug it into your power on your phone, you can, or your iPad, and you can run it through. A lot of restaurants I've seen are doing it that way. You know, taking your credit card and just swiping it at the table or at the counter if it's a semi-fast food place or a fast food place. I mean, kind of interesting. I think the future is no card at all. I think people's phones. I've been saying this. I remember talking to my wife a number of years ago. I said, your phone someday is going to be your everything. It's going to be your computer. You're going to check entertainment. You're going to listen to music. It's going to be everything. Of course, she didn't think so. And I still think it's going to be everything. Look where we come. And I could see it becoming the credit card. You don't. Why do you need a credit card? You don't. And, you know, you can tell by what it's going in that direction. You know, you got fingerprints, you know, identification on Apple phones. You know, what do you need besides a fingerprint? You don't need to sign something. Fingerprint's more reliable, isn't it? A fingerprint and maybe a code. There you go. That's your credit card. Charge it to your phone bill. It's going to happen. They've just got to have a system to make it very simple, especially for us older people and the older generation. The newer generation, younger generation, the millennials and younger, they have no problem with this. They want it. I mean, when's the last time you saw a millennial with any cash in her pocket? They don't. They don't see a need for that. The first concern of any investor is to minimize risk while maximize return. A speculator is willing to accept a higher level risk in hopes of collecting higher than average profits. Where do you fall in the scale of risk? Use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. It'll tell you.
Every bit of advice you are willing to share, I very much appreciate.
InvestTalk is here to help.
I really enjoy this show.
And we thank you for listening.
I'm sorry that I can't hear it every day.
And our main talking point today is going to be your ETF may be better off in a retirement account. And where it is most beneficial, and I'm not going to beat around the bush, it's where an ETF pays dividends and capital gains. If it's in the retirement account, you don't have to pay taxes on that. Dividends outside a retirement account go to your can sometimes go to your ordinary income tax. Capital gains definitely can be expensive. Especially, let's say you buy a mutual fund, and it's outside your IRA or your 401k. Every year they disperse capital gains from those mutual funds. It's expensive, and I think you'd be a lot better off in those things that you're trying to make income off of, you know, those investments, to put them in your IRA. If you're speculating, looking for growth, you know, there's an argument. Shouldn't I speculate with my IRA, or should I speculate outside my IRA? There's an argument for both. But an ETF might be better off inside an IRA if it's an income instrument ETF, income-focused ETF. You know, but this question has gone back and forth for years and years and years. Part of me wants to say, well, shouldn't I have the more volatile growth, the more active portfolio inside my IRA? But then the other part says, well, but an IRA shouldn't by its very nature as a retirement account be a bit more conservative and maybe, you know, looking for the steady income growing type investments? I don't think there is an answer here. I think the answer is, well, let's look at you specifically, and what do you want to do? And are you an aggressive person or you're a non-aggressive person? How nervous do you get with the stock market? So what kind of assets? What's your risk profile like? Which is, you know, we've talked about a million times on here. Then you can go to, well, is it better for you to have your ETFs, if you're going to have ETF investment, would it be better to be in your retirement accounts or in your growth portfolio? Well, kind of ETF. See, the ETFs could be conservative or could be aggressive. Again, it goes to who you are. So it's a constant debate. And there's no really one answer for everybody, or even a group of people. It's really an individualistic thing. So think about those kinds of stuff. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, you can still call and ask. And we'll play it on the Nest InvestTalk. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
This is Nick, all the way out in Italy here. Love your show. I was calling about a particular stock I bought about a month ago, AltaSource Portfolio Solutions. The ticker is Alpha Sierra Papa Sierra. I was wondering what your guys' valuation is on it and if I should hang on. Thanks.
ASPS. ASPS. AltaSource. Let's see. Provides real estate and mortgage portfolio management and related technology products. It's a micro-cap company, $573 million. So whenever you see a company that has a smaller capitalization than a billion, it gets to the micro-cap area, and then it's a question of risk. Because a really small company is usually higher risk and higher reward. So you look at, okay, so it provides real estate solution. Doesn't pay a dividend. It's not a dividend payer necessarily. It hasn't paid a dividend. But it is growing fairly fast up until 2 quarters ago. I mean, it was growing 50-60% a year ago in sales. And then this most recent quarter, sales fell 5%, quarter before that 9%. So the first question in your mind is, why have the sales fallen off in the last 2 quarters? You want to know that. The stock itself is fairly inexpensive. It's a $27.87 stock. It's going to make $3.96 next year. But that's almost a 30% drop from $5.54 per share this year to $3.96. But at $3.96, that's still well below a 10 PE. But, you know, this is the problem. You're seeing earnings go down and sales go down. You need to know why that's happening. Why? A year ago, insiders were buying. This year, hardly any insiders are buying. More insiders are selling. Those are little things that bother me. They have a lot of debt. Management owns 5%. Mutual funds have been slowly buying. And the chart has gone sideways. To me, if I don't have a satisfactory answer about the sales and profits, why they're going down, and how they're going to turn that around, if I don't get a very satisfying answer about that, I would not touch this stock. It's high risk. Very high risk because of the size. looks like a pretty solid company making money. I always like that. But the money they're making is going down. And by the way, 2 years ago, it was $6.85 per share. 2015, $5.54. And next year, $3.96. It's going in the wrong direction. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, two types of risks that every investor takes. Do you know what those are? These are very broad-based risks that you take. What kind are they? 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. You can call right now.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com. Get back to Invest Talk, made possible each day by KPP Financial. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now with your money question on Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. German gross domestic product grew 0.3% in the fourth quarter. Exports were the drag on the economy. Most of the strength came from consumer consumption. Okay, and you'll note around the world, especially in the United States, those economies that are focused on internal consumer consumption are doing a lot better than those countries relying on exports and commodities. And that's true. Now, France, by the way, that 3% GDP, 0.3% GDP growth, that's, remember, 0.3% growth in GDP for Germany. It was the second quarter in a row with 0.3%. France's GDP grew at 0.2%. And the big fear here is that these major economies are not picking up. Remember, Draga, the ECB, European Central Bank, have been trying to boost growth by going negative interest rates. Germany has negative interest rates. Trying to get the, and they don't seem to get anywhere. Notice a lot around the world, this is not helping. And I really think the evidence is in that these extra low interest rates worldwide are not really helping the economies anymore. Lowering rates normally in a recession is the way you fight a recession. We haven't had a recession since 2008. And we got everybody still lowering rates. Why didn't they raise rates after the recession? Well, because it was so deep and long, and they were really worried about the banks not surviving, and then the whole financial system collapsed. I mean, that was the worry. Well, and then now look at what the Fed did. It raised rates in December, and what has our stock market done? Pretty much fallen. Is that because of the Fed? Well, we wrote about that in our newsletter. Not necessarily. Not because of the Fed. But I don't think, they had, and I've said that before, they even thinking about raising rates, that they have no justification for raising rates other than that the rates were zero, pretty much. That's the only justification. They want a higher rate so they can fight the next recession. But there was no inflation. Our economy wasn't that strong to raise rates. And the rest of the world is lowering rates. So how's that going to help our economy? Not going to help it. It's going to hurt it. So, and I'm not alone in that thinking. That's why the stock market's down. But I don't think it's all related to them. I mean, you got other issues going on besides the Fed raising rates that hurt the stock market. How about bad corporate earnings? Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit deeper. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. And if you have a money question and you're not asking it, I'm wondering why. Any money question is welcome. Beginner experience, doesn't matter. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Justin, Steve. My name is Brian. I listen to your show on KDOW in the San Francisco Bay Area. My question is it a good time to increase my investment in J.P. Morgan Realty Income Fund Class A? The ticker symbol is URTAX. I'm thinking of increasing it from 5% of my portfolio to 10%. Thank you. I'll listen for an answer on a future show.
Okay, this has been falling pretty much steadily. JP Morgan Real Estate Income Fund. And it's been falling hard for some time. And I would say, you know, if you're probably bottom fishing here at this point, and I would say it's too early to bottom fish. It hasn't demonstrated that this is the bottom yet. There's an old saying, you don't want to try to catch a falling knife. And the knife is falling, you try to catch, you're going to cut yourself. And in stock parlance, that means while it's falling, don't try to pick a bottom. Wait till it hits the bottom, rattles around, calms down, and then starts up. So I would not add it at this point. I would rather see you add it on strength, not weakness. And if you only add it if the overall portfolio deserves to have this in it. Why are you adding this? I'm assuming you like it because of the dividend, even though there's no dividend yield coming up on my screen. I'm sure there is one. And that's probably why you add it. Remember, real estate has done very, very well. I would be very careful about buying real estate now because it's done so well in the last few years. So I would be very hesitant about adding this. This would not be something I would add to myself. But if you're going to do it, make sure it stops falling. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So why did the oil prices today spike so much? They were best day in 7 years. Oil prices up today. Why? And will it last? Is this a trend change? Well, let me tell you why it probably spiked. There was all week, and today, even today, we had a bunch of articles in the UAE, United Arab Emirates, said that there's a possible OPEC cut. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe they're going to cut at all. Why? What they're doing is working. They're trying to get rid of or kind of cut our production of oil by driving the shale producers out of business. That's what they're trying to do. They're protecting their market share. They don't, you know, U.S. is the largest oil producer in the world, and they don't want us to produce more. So I don't think that there's going to be. But that's been the talk. Signs of falling production. Well, we know that the production is slowly falling, but it didn't fall much. But there are signs that it's going to happen. More likely, this rebound we saw today is a technical rebound. In other words, it just was oversold. And yet the high volume of oil contracts being traded, it makes it very volatile. So you had a technical rebound in a very volatile market. I think that's it. I do think oil is very close to where it's going to settle down, $25, $35. I always thought that around $30 is where it's going to hold, $30 a barrel. And I think that's what we're seeing. But today's action, I don't think it really tells us anything, even though it was the best day for oil in 7 years. I don't think it's telling us anything. Now, you know, I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and if you have a money question and you're not asking it, I would love to hear it. Why don't you ask? Time for Invest Talk 101. There are two basic types of risks that every investor is exposed to. Two, systematic and unsystematic risks. Do you know the difference? Systematic risk influences a large number of assets. A significant political event, for example, could affect several asset classes. It's virtually impossible to protect yourself against that type of risk. You don't know if, it's hard to know what will happen that is unrelated to the company you're investing in, unrelated to the injuries. Things come out of left field. And that's the systematic risk you're taking in the stock market. The unsystematic risks are sometimes referred to specific risks. Now, this is the kind of risk you can protect yourself. It's a risk. Like, for instance, you have a disruption of an industry. Okay, you can see that coming. You can see strikes, unions striking an auto company, which will help hurt all the other companies. Those things you can diversify and protect yourself from. So one, you can protect yourself, and one, you can't. Now, of course, from there, there's other types of risks. There's not just those two major categories. Underneath the unsystematic risk, there's credit default risk, there's country risk, there's foreign exchange risk, interest rate risk, political risk, market risk, stock risk, on and on and on. You know, so if you want to read more about this, there's a link on Investopedia article that you can see at investopedia.com. It's right next to our talking point on investtalk.com. Go to our website and you click on it. Talks about it. And that's Invest Talk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in now at 888-99-CHART. Or make it a personal note to me directly with an email.
You've always got a financial advisor right there in your pocket. Our 24-hour anytime line is always open for your questions. Or you can get a note directly to Steve or Justin. Click contact on investtalk.com. And rest assured, they'll get right back to you.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Vic in San Jose. How you doing, Vic?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Sure. My question is about Yamana Gold. I know it has been bottoming since a long time. I don't know what your thoughts are now, if it can break out to a new high.
I like the gold mining companies. We've got a number of them in our portfolios and in our stock portfolios, our more aggressive portfolios. We have, what, three or four gold mining companies? And this is Yamana Gold. A-U-Y is a symbol. Canadian company engaged in mining and exploration of gold and silver properties in South America, Mexico, and Canada. And they're going to make 43 cents a share in their 2015 year. So just coming to an end. And then 37 cents a share next year. But of course, it's all about the price of gold, right? I mean, if gold price is going to go up, those earnings estimates are going to go up. And so the question is Yamana Gold going to be around to take advantage of those higher prices? And the answer is yes. It's a $2.5 billion company, has very little debt, and I think it will. And I think it's going higher. I think that you might have a little pullback because it spiked up in, what, 2 weeks, very, very much, from $1.40 to $2.68. So how about, you know, almost 100% in you know, the last few weeks. So I think you might want to wait for a pullback, but I would be a buyer of it, yes. Okay,
Can you look at one more company for me, please?
Sure.
It's Kinross Gold, KGC.
KGC. No, I don't know if I know that one. That one's not something I've been on my radar. Kinross Gold Corporation, KGC, Canadian company engaged in mining and processing gold, silver, copper in Brazil, Chile, Russia. This is a $3.4 billion company, and it also has spiked up sharply, just like the gold companies have. This one is a bit higher risk because it doesn't make any money. It's a bigger company, $3.4 billion, but they haven't made money since. They're not going to make money this year. They're not going to make money next year. They didn't make many money last year. And sales have been falling. I like Yamada a lot better, personally. The numbers look a lot better.
Okay.
Thanks, Vic.
Okay, great. Thank
Appreciate
you
the call. Thank you. Just a few hours left to take advantage of our early bird sign-up on our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. At midnight tonight, the discount ends. You can sign up for $35 instead of $45. You get a $10 discount. And I noticed that we have a lot of people taking us up on that. So remember, it's going to be next Saturday morning, not tomorrow, but next Saturday morning, 9 to 12, 9 to noon. And so you really, if you want to take advantage, you want to come. And remember, this topic is opportunities in a volatile market. It's pretty appropriate for what we're dealing with right now. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, now's the time to sign up. Meet me there in San Jose at the hotel. Can't miss it. Love to see you there. 888-99-CHART. You can call that number and follow prompts, and you can sign up or go to investtalk.com. Now let's go to Rich in Castro Valley. How you doing, Rich?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Excellent. Well, here's, I think, one of those things that falls into opportunities in a high that are presenting itself in an upsy-turvy market. It's UWTI. It's a 3X oil ETF.
Uh-huh.
And with oil trading at its lows, you know, like 26, I was thinking of taking like a, you know, a very small position, 1, 2% of portfolio, with like a $1.30 buy on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking on a 3-year, 4-year horizon.
Well, this is a ETF, everybody. Exchange traded fund, providing a long exposure to the crude oil index, okay? And it does it by leveraging 300%. Now, I don't have a problem with a long exposure to the crude oil index, but I do have issues with double and 200 and 300% leveraged. And the reason why I have issue with it, Rick, is they don't seem to do exactly what they say they're going to do. They don't go 3 times the index or 2 times. They can do it on a day-to-day basis, but they can't keep it up. So it's just a very tough. These are trading vehicles. They're not long-term holding vehicles, because they don't. So if you're going to use it, you use it as a trade. And I will say this: I think oil is very low, close to the bottom. I do. And but I don't think, if it was me, I'd rather you could use this as a trade, but then buy some other oil companies, maybe large oil companies, more as a backup. You know, long-term holds. This would not be a long-term hold. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Our InvestTalk anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer your questions. Do best I can. Any money questions you want, 888-99-CHART. Lars is holding on in San Jose. He's next, and then we'll talk to you.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
Let's talk to Lars in San Jose. How you doing, Lars?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for putting on a great show.
Great,
Steve,
thank you.
I just wanted you to do your opinion about Western Digital, WDC. It seems like it's beginning to form a double bottom down at around $40, just above $40. And also it has a higher volume here. It has a nice dividend and so forth. But I wanted to hear your opinion about it.
Okay, Western Digital, WDC, is, you know, it manufactures hard disk drives and is one of the major producers of these things. It's a $9.5 billion company. It's pretty big. And I think it's moving. It used to be a growth stock, and now, like many tech stocks that survived, it's moved into a blue chip kind of area. Its sales are going down, so that's a problem. They've been going down for 2 years, and that's disappointing. Earnings are pretty stable, $5.80 this year, $6.42 last year, but they were making $7 and $8 a couple of years ago per share. 4.9% dividend, I think that's pretty solid. And the stock is fairly cheap with a 6 PE. I mean, it's a $41 stock. It's going to make $6.42 next year. So that's a pretty inexpensive stock. Now, looking at the chart, I think you got to wait a bit. I still think it's getting very close. It should be very close to the bottom, but it's been having lower highs and lower lows for almost 2 years. So every time it pops up, it doesn't pop up as high as it was before, and then it goes down again. I think you want to see a higher high and a higher low. In other words, you want to see it turn around, Lars, before you jump into it. Because I'm just not sure where it's going to. I don't know. I'm not sure it's convinced that it's a double bottom at this point. Okay.
But if you look at the PE, that is, as you mentioned, very, very low, especially the forward PE.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, do you still think considering that, it just seems like this is very close to the bottom.
I think it's getting really close. If you look at a long-term chart, this stock will bottom between $25 and $40, right about where it is. So this could be the bottom, but I'd be patient. I think I would want to see some strength come into it before I buy it. That's just my idea.
Okay.
Mars, thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call,
Robert. Let's go to Ruby in San Jose. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi. Enjoy your show, Steve. I have a question on the total world stock ETF.
Yes.
Like VT or iShares. So what do you think, what is your opinion on this, and what do you suggest among this group? Like, we have around four or five well-known ETFs, right? So which one do you think is the better one for the dollar cost averaging and for the long-term conservative investor?
Okay. The Vanguard Total World Stock Market, VT, is the ETF, an exchange-traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the global all-cap index. So it's a very broad index, pays a 2.7% dividend. And, you know, it's been falling just like all the markets around the world and the U.S. have fallen. If you take a look at it, it's, you know, you see that it's still weakening. Now, the question is it done? It had a good day today, up 90 cents to $51.71 today. But is it finish? Is the world weakness in the stock markets finished? And I think we're going to see a bounce. I do. But I would, just like the caller before, I want to see, before I buy any of these, any of them, all of them, I want to see some higher highs and higher lows, one or two of those that tell us that it's finally, you know, on the mend. Right now, it's showing lower highs and lower lows on the chart, meaning it's very weak still. It's well below the 200-day moving average, well below all the moving averages, and you just don't want to. You don't want to try to catch a falling knife. It's still falling. Let it finish falling, and then pick it up, Ruby. Appreciate the call. Thank you. That VT was the symbol, Vanguard Total World Stock Market Index. What might trigger an IRS audit? Real quick, what might trigger an audit? If you had a lot of money, if you're self-employed, if you made a lot of money, and you're self-employed, that's a red flag. A shady tax preparer. If they find a tax preparer who was shady in his tax deductions and stuff, and you use that guy, guess what? You'll probably get out of it. Not filing using e-file, using paper filing. That has become an area where they like to audit. That's tough, huh? Okay, there's a few. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, we thank you for listening today. And please join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.